This is Book Public from Texas Public Radio. I'm Yvette Benavides. On this episode, I speak to Joy Harjo about her book, Girl Warrior, on coming of age. I'm thrilled to talk to the great Joy Harjo today. She's a member of the Muscogee Nation, the author of several books of poetry, memoirs, children's books, and albums. She is a three-term United States Poet Laureate and has won many awards, including a National Humanities Medal. There are voices in literature that do not simply tell stories. Instead, they echo across generations, shouldering the sometimes burdensome weight of history. Joy Harjo is one such voice, but part of the load she carries includes elements of culture and spirit and wisdom that she manages to make resonant to a wide audience. As the first Native American U.S. Poet Laureate and a member of the Muscogee Creek Nation, Harjo has carved a space in American letters where poetry and activism converge. Through her work, she reminds us that language is not only a form of expression, but also a vessel for survival, for transformation. She reminds us of this fact through her body of work and in her latest book, Girl Warrior, on coming of age. We see again how she offers this wisdom and compassion to young people who are just coming up, making mistakes, seeking a path, doing the best they can in a world that isn't always made to allow access for Indigenous women and other marginalized people in our world. In this interview, I speak with Joy Harjo about the role of art and poetry as both weapon and sanctuary, the significance of that ancestral memory, and the urgent need for young women, especially Indigenous girls, to see themselves reflected in stories of power and survival. I spoke to Joy Harjo about Girl Warrior. Joy, I want to ask you about Girl Warrior on coming of age. What do you tell people when they ask you what this book is about, Girl Warrior?
I tell people that it was a book that was inspired by my travels and meeting young people along the way. You know, young people, elementary, junior high, high school, college age, young 20s, and older. Inspired just by meeting people along the way So I wrote this especially to inspire or to be helpful and to be helpful to people, to young, especially young people.
When I was reading this, I was thinking about how much I wished I had a book like this when I was growing up, but I started to think about the book. Every day I was doing something else and I would think about something that I'd read, and I thought, you know, women, I think especially, are always sort of coming of age. We're always sort of,
yes,
you know, so I love that about this book, that it's really for everyone, but it is particularly, I think, in very beautiful ways, instructive for young people. How do you define girl warrior, though? What are the qualities of a girl warrior generally?
Well, I'm glad that you got that it's coming of age can happen at many different ages. We're always learning and being faced with challenges, and that's what happens in the story field. That's what happened. We're here, you know, to learn to overcome challenges and to be, to be helpful to each other. A girl warrior, when I think of a warrior, I think of someone brave, someone who will, you know, stand up for the truth, is vulnerable and listens to all sides and listens to their own spirit. Someone who knows that everyone here has value and does not buy into a hierarchy based on things like race, income, you know, education, all of those things that people tend to assign certain levels of value to. And someone who, you know, follows what they were given to do, who takes care of their gifts, and even if it might seem impossible to do so.
You say something so interesting about someone who can take care of their gifts, to recognize what their gifts are. And I was reading this and I was thinking about how, in some very real ways, you're telling readers, especially young readers, that they have tools within them, but they have tools without. They have tools along the lines of something like art and poetry and music as being extremely powerful gifts, extremely powerful tools in this process of coming of age. You know, I think sometimes young people, they think that their love of art or music or film or poetry or writing of any kind is kind of frivolous, and we want them to do something a little bit more practical or pragmatic. And yet, as you so rightly say throughout this book, actually, we should not be sort of removing them from those ideas about those kinds of things that are extremely helpful to them to find their way in this world.
Right, that all these gifts, I mean, you think about poetry, it's always there during transformative moments. And I think also of poetry and songwriting, where, you know, one of the major tools or one of the, what characterizes poetry is certainly use of language and metaphor, where, you know, there's a certain depth. And, you know, all of the arts have been kind of discredited in a society in which STEM, you know,
yes,
which STEM has come to, you know, and what had more importance. And why is that? It has to do with economics and making money. And when I was teaching, I had to counsel so many young people who, you know, whose parents, or I had several young people come to my office distraught because their parents had said they would not fund their education if they changed from engineering to poetry. You know, or a young woman was, she couldn't get into school and, you know, into her studies because she was being forced by her parents to study something, and she was an incredible photographer. But they, you know, we need everyone, and we need all of these, you know, we need all of these, in, you know, endeavors. And what happens if you, a society becomes unbalanced? I mean, I always think about China and wonder what happened or what's happening when there were no little girls, there were no women, you know, when all the little girls were given away and there were only boys.
Yeah.
I've always wondered about that. I mean, it causes a great imbalance.
You know, I was looking at just the titles of the short chapters in this book. It's a gamut of the story field, and I'm skipping around, voice,
yeah,
ethics, tricksters, notice, contradiction, compassion, so many different kinds of things from, you know, sort of people, concepts, emotions. There's so many different things that I wonder, how did you settle, and they fit like a perfect puzzle, of course, but how did you settle on this kind of structure for the book, and how did you land on these individual subjects for each of the chapters?
I was just thinking about being, you know, younger, as the stories and moments that were particularly challenging or teaching, and then, you know, stories and what a lot of young people, you know, things they've encountered, and things that everybody encounters, you know, on their walk as a human being. And I just kind of, you know, I think when I first started writing, I just started writing them. And then I would, later on, I started fitting them in a kind of order.
I love it. And the other thing that I love about it is that you are sharing your personal stories and anecdotes along with other sort of words of wisdom and other kinds of ideas and lessons. And as you know, in creative nonfiction, the more specific the detail is and the more personal the detail is, the more universally appreciated it can be, the more resonant mm-hmm. it can be. And I think that's absolutely true here. I wonder, though, if you can talk a little bit about some of these, if you're able to. For instance, my eye fell when I just opened the book now on the chapter on Be Yourself, because that's a very hard thing for most of us at any age, but I think also for young people who are coming of age.
I think so, too, especially now with all of the AI and all of those tools where, you know, the where nobody looks like who they really are because they're using filters. You know, they use they can alter, you know, they can alter mm-hmm. themselves to look a certain kind of perfect that's impossible, and in a way that nobody would ever really want to look like that in person. Yes. It wouldn't look real. So that's become especially that I think about, you know, when a mentor told me that, and I think about how much in the world has changed since she said that, and how important it is, especially in this time when even a photograph can be a lie, a kind of a lie, so to speak. It's lifelong to learn to be yourself. It's a lifelong journey.
I was thinking about this. Be yourself is right next to performing, the chapter called Performing. And you start that one with, like many of you, I was terrified of speaking in public. And of course, that is one of the biggest fears that people have.
Yes,
is public speaking.
Is.
So I'm so glad you have these sort of together, these two, be yourself and this idea of, you know, there are so many times in our lives when we have to speak up. If not perform, then certainly speak up, speak out, speak for ourselves in front of other people. And I think that's such a difficult lesson. I was reading an article the other day about how young people don't want to talk on the phone, that there's now this phobia about that. And I was really struck by that. I do appreciate these kinds of chapters on these ideas about being yourself, performing, you know, sort of speaking up when you need to, or speaking up when you're performing too.
That's true too. That's so, another whole aspect of that.
Tell me about the chapter on addiction, because as you know, this is another major problem that we have in our society with people of all ages, but with young people, it is such a terrible thing to have a situation like that where it's seemingly, you know, impossible to help them. What can you tell me about the chapter on addiction?
Oh, man, that could be a whole book.
Yeah.
Because coming up, I watched it, and sometimes, you know, a lot of us now have our addiction to our cell phones.
Yes.
You know, an addiction, you know, especially right now, we're dealing with so many complex levels of challenge as a society at large, you know, and as people of an earth who's going through changes and political changes and cultural changes, and it's really difficult. And that's when I think addictions come out of, really it would pair well with be yourself, because an addiction usually stems from something that you're afraid of facing. The root is often goes to something you're afraid to face in yourself and others, something in the story. You feel like to look at it or to acknowledge it would be to destroy you sometimes. And so you run away. Some people run away their whole life. Some addictions get pretty, you know, pretty horrendous. I mean, I feel like I'm losing a friend now who is probably one of the top people in her field in the country. And, you know, I mean, I don't know what's haunting her, but sometimes these things take hold. And the thing is, and I have faced things myself, come up against these moments, and then once I realize it or go through it, and writing is one way I do it, or, you know, creating is when you make it through to the other side, you think, oh my God, I made it worse. I made it worse than it was. Or, you know, people go through horrible things in childhood, and if you just look at it with your eyes open, and then it no longer has its hold on you, and you can move through. It doesn't mean that what horrible thing happened didn't happen, you know, like racism in this country and all of the different stories about it, except that, okay, this is what happened. I can see it and I feel it. And okay, here's what I can do. I can speak up against it, Or, you know, I can sit in my room and drink and get mad at everybody. I mean, there's, and it's hard. I don't judge anybody who's lost in it. I understand it. And I understand the need to be lost in an addiction sometimes, because sometimes you just have to be ready to leap. And I know I'm making that sound simple, you know, or I might be simplifying things. It's just that it's a very real thing. And maybe everybody, maybe we all have certain kinds of addictions that we have to deal with so that they don't get so large they overtake us. And maybe this whole society together, yeah, you know, is addicted to, certainly addicted to buying and selling, you know, so to speak.
Yeah. There's something else about the structure of this book that I find so useful, is that you can have a chapter, for instance, like romance or kitchen table or friendship, right alongside something like failure, intimate violence, addiction, despair, fear. And I was thinking about how right that is, that you're not sort of separating the chapters by the subject. No, because a day in the life really is full of these very, very varied moments. And I feel like how important that is to think about. You have a book like Girl Warrior that's, you know, here's what you do on good days, or here's some advice for when it's not so good. It's really all of a piece, it seems like to me. One of the chapters that I love, and my book is all, I have post-it notes all over the place, but one that I keep coming back to is Making It Through, where you write, when you can no longer fit words to turmoil, when the sky is gray even when there's sun, when time is a sieve fed by nothingness, when there's no forward or backward, when your heart stops making any music you can hear, you might think no one sees or hears, that no one understands, you've turned your back. And from there, you move into this idea, and this is actually one of the longer chapters, about you will make it through the story. Your story is timeless and was constructed by the bravery of everyone it took to get you here. And you bring in the tools of poetry, and you bring in the tools of inspiration and reaching out to others for help. And it touches back to other chapters and other ideas in the book. I love this about the chapters, is that there are these ways to touch back to other things that you've already sort of come through reading in the book, and there's just this beautiful reinforcement of those ideas. I just think it's so beautiful, Joy.
Well, thank you for that, because, you know, you get it out and you think, you know, I always am very highly critical, you know, critical, but thank you for that, that, you know, I appreciate that, to see that, you know, that it's worked for you, and that it, you know, there is a flow to it, and so on, because I appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And one of the things that works so beautifully, too, is the second person, the direct address. You might live your whole life looking for justice and never find it. You are talking to me. You are talking to directly to the reader. And you're telling your story, but you're speaking directly to us. And saying to us, almost in the imperative, you know, imagine this being done with history. Don't ever give up looking for those who are missing or helping restore. This is all throughout this book, Joy. I just think it's so marvelous. The direct address, it just works so beautifully. Now, you are a former U.S. Poet Laureate. And I'm trying to think about how your experiences in that role came to inform the wisdom that you are imparting in this book, Girl Warrior. Were there moments like that where you could hearken back to some very specific moment that you had in that particular role?
Yeah, that would be hard to pinpoint. Most of my laureateship was online. Yes. We were in the midst of COVID. It was announced June 2019, and by March, we were all locked down. And so by the time it got out there, you know, and I already had my travel schedule because that's what I do. But by the time that happened, that's why I have three terms, is because most of it, even during the extra third term, we still were not really out and about then. You know, what I came to see, you know, during that time was how much people were reaching out for poetry. All of the poetry sites, like Academy of American Poets site, Poetry Society of America, Poem a Day, all of these sites were just inundated. You know, their numbers went way up of people logging in, looking for poems, wanting to read poetry, because poetry is where we go when we have no words, or where we're in a place where we feel like we need, the spirit needs direction or needs community, so to speak, to lock into a kind of sense of community and a sense of that there's meaning somehow somewhere in this, because my world has just been turned upside down and we could step outside and die because we touched something. You know what all was going on then. And we lost family members and we lost people who, you know, would get it and go. I lost a brother-in-law, a beloved brother-in-law. We lost probably almost half our culture bearers. People would go to funerals and then there would be another round. And so people came to, you know, just like now, I imagine, given everything that's going on, you know, it's people go to poetry. I just did an interview where we talked about, you know, one of Dylan's, it's not what you would call a protest song, but it was a song, All Along the Watchtower, that Jimi Hendrix made famous. And it, you know, it was something, it was like poetry that came out of a time very much like this one. So we go to poetry, we go to songs, we go to music, we go to art for, you know, so we can it kind of shines a light onto our existence and where we might be going.
It's so true. You know, we're living in such dangerous times. It's so fraught.
Yes.
I don't know. I can't even imagine what tomorrow will bring. I don't even want to think about it. And yet we have to think about it. We have to wake up tomorrow and see what's before us and see what we need to do. But I wonder, as you know, as I read this book, and there's a chapter on grief, there's a chapter on compassion, there's a chapter even on forgiveness that I have been looking at quite a lot. And how to make it through. I feel like a book like this one right now, I always feel like books find us when we really need them. We find them, they find us. And it is a moment of happenstance sometimes to open something up and see the resonance on the page and just be really moved or touched or instructed or edified in some way by what you are reading. And so I just want to say that Girl Warrior in 2025 comes with such impeccable timing for the rest of us.
Well, I hope I wrote it to be useful and to help all of us make it through, you know, and we will.
I'm so happy to get to talk to you, Joy Harjo. Thank you so much for speaking with me today. What an honor. I'm so thrilled to get to talk to you.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I appreciate your careful reading. And I'm really thrilled that this book has been helpful to you.
Thank you so much, Joy. Joy Harjo is the author of Girl Warrior. This has been Book Public from Texas Public Radio. Jacob Rosati composed our theme music. Dan Katz is Texas Public Radio's news director. I'm Yvette Benavides.